Hello, wonderful people. My name is Carol Vey, and welcome back to my channel. One of the reasons that I was asking God, why me, when He put YouTube on my heart, is because I can't speak fluently through an entire video. I need to stop every couple of sentences or even more and look at my notes and read Bible verses, which results in many, many edits throughout the videos. And this is why I record and edit my videos in advance. So between the time that I plan a video and actually upload it to YouTube, there could be days that go by where big things are happening in the news. And I wonder if this is one of the reasons why I don't talk about what's going on in the news. And yet, when we're speaking about the rapture, it doesn't really matter because it is an imminent, signless event. It could happen on the slowest of news days. So one question that I've received in the past is, how do you know that the rapture is soon or near? And there are a couple ways that we know without having to depend on what's going on in the news or what signs we see going on that Jesus told us would be happening. And one of the ways that we know that all of this is very near is that we are coming to the end of 6,000 years of human history on earth. And I've spoken about the millennial day theory before. Could it be that for every day of creation, it lines up with 1,000 years of human history on earth? Was God developing a template for weeks with the creation? In the Genesis account, we have a week of days, and I believe these are literal 24-hour days, because he says, and there was evening and morning and one day, evening and morning and 2 days. If these verses hadn't included the evening and the morning and a number, then it might be possible to assume that these are more than just a literal 24-hour day. In Genesis chapter 2, we read, "Thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made." We also read about this week of days in Exodus, when the Lord was giving Moses his Ten Commandments. "For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." So although each day was a literal 24-hour period, it did give us a clue about what might happen in each of the 1,000 years that would come to pass. And there are two Bible passages that remind me of this millennial day theory. And one of them is from one of my favorite chapters in the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 3, where in verse 8 we read, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." And we are either right at or almost at the end of 6,000 years. And I'm going to link a video here where I explain how each of the days of creation lines up with 1,000 years of Bible history. Then also in Psalm 90, verse 4, we read, "For 1,000 years in your sight are like yesterday when it is past, and like a watch in the night." We have many types and shadows of the millennial day theory, but I was searching for scripture that would literally tell us that a day is like 1,000 years. And when I was searching, Enoch came up, and Enoch was Noah's great-grandfather, and he was actually raptured prior to the great flood. And we read about this in a couple of places in scripture. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And if this wasn't clear enough, then in Hebrews chapter 11, we read, by faith Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. And isn't it interesting that Enoch, a type of the church, was basically raptured before the great flood. Enoch may have written three books which were not part of the biblical canon, and yet in Jude's epistle, he referenced Enoch's writings when he said, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men also, saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment on all, to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have committed in an ungodly way, and all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. And he's speaking of the Lord's second coming here. And isn't it interesting that he says, with 10,000s, plural, of his saints with him. And we know that we follow the Lord down for his second coming, which is another thing that points to the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And although we don't put all of our faith in what Enoch said, since it wasn't included in the Bible, there were portions of his writings found with the Dead Sea Scrolls, which leads us to believe that they were old documents and old writings. God shows Enoch the epoch of this world, the existence of 7,000 years, and the 8,000 is the end, neither years nor months nor week nor days. On the eighth day, I likewise appointed so that the eighth day might be the first created of my week, and that it should revolve in the revolution of 7,000, so that the 8,000 might be in the beginning of a time not reckoned and unending, neither years, nor months, nor weeks, nor days, nor hours. Like the first day of the week, so also that the eighth day of the week might return continually. And I found another reference to Enoch's writing, which says, chapter 33, Enoch is told there will be 7,000 years of human existence with an 8,000 with not days, months, or years, probably an eternal state. Presumably, there will be 1,000 for each of the days of creation. The idea of seven created days, 7,000 years of human history, crosses over into Christianity via the epistle of Barnabas, but is not found in the Bible. And when we talk about 7,000 years of human history, this includes God's millennial kingdom here on earth, where the Lord himself will rule and reign after his second coming. So there must have been a reason why Enoch's writings were not included in the Bible. And yet, even if they are not legitimate, it shows us that this millennial day theory is not a new idea. This is an ancient theory. And Peter and Moses, who we believe wrote Psalm 90, must have been shown a similar thing. We just read that this idea crossed over into Christianity via the Epistle of Barnabas, another writing that was not canonized. And I found this epistle online, and it says author unknown, and maybe this is why it's not included. And yet scholars believe that this epistle was written between 70 and 132 AD. So this definitely is not a new idea. Of the Sabbath he speaketh in the beginning of the creation, and God made the works of his hands in 6 days, and he ended on the seventh day and rested on it, and he hallowed it. Give heed, children, what this meaneth. He ended in 6 days. He meaneth this, that in 6,000 years the Lord shall bring all things to an end. For the day with him signifieth 1,000 years, and this he himself beareth me witness, saying, behold, the day of the Lord shall be as 1,000 years. Therefore, children, in 6 days That is, in 6,000 years, everything shall come to an end. And he rested on the seventh day. This he meaneth, when his son shall come and shall abolish the time of the lawless one, and shall judge the ungodly, and shall change the sun and moon and the stars, then shall he truly rest on the seventh day. So now we can see a few very old writings that talk about this millennial day theory, but how do we know we are at the end of 6,000 years? Many scholars base the beginning of all of this at about 4004 BC, or 4,000 years before Christ was born, and this was done through the genealogies that are found in the Bible. And many also believe that the church age is 2,000 years. If Jesus were to return to earth 2,000 years after his death on the cross, that would mean he would return between 2030 and 2033, based on the actual timing of his crucifixion. And this would be his second coming. So from this date, we move back 7 years, and we can see that we are already in this window. One of our types of this millennial day theory is in the book of Hosea, chapter 6. Come and let us return to the Lord, for he has torn, but he will heal us. He has stricken, but he will bind us up. And after 2 days, he will revive us. On the third day, he will raise us up that we may live in his sight. Could these 2 days that Hosea is talking about be the 2,000 years of the church age? The age of grace, where once this comes to an end, he will put his focus back on Israel for the time of Jacob's trouble? Paul wrote in Romans, "For I do not desire, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own opinion, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in." I found another interesting type in the book of Job. "He shall deliver you in 6 troubles. Yes, in 7, no evil shall touch you." Jesus told us that in this world we would have trouble or tribulation. And man has had trouble or tribulation during all of these 6,000 years. But in the 7th day, or the 7,000th year, which represents the millennial reign of our Lord and Savior here on earth, there will be peace. Finally, remember the account of Jesus with the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman? She realizes that he is the Messiah that they had been waiting for. So when the Samaritans had come to him, they urged him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And the Samaritans are a type of the church, and this church age has been going on for 2,000 years. Now, after the 2 days, he departed from there and went to Galilee, or returned to Israel. For Jesus himself testified that a prophet has no honor in his own country. So when he came to Galilee, the Galileans received him, having seen all the things he did in Jerusalem at the feast, for they had gone to the feast. So we are right at the end of 6,000 years. And yet the current Hebrew year is 5784. So why the big difference? And I read a wonderful article, "The Prophecy of the Week of Millenniums, the Millennial Day Theory," by Dr. David R. Reagan. And I'm going to link this article in my description box, since he brings up so much of what I'm talking about today and even more. But he said there is really a very simple answer to this question about why the big difference in the years. Just as the Western Gregorian calendar is off by 4 to 6 years, the Jewish calendar contains an even greater error of over 200 years. The calculation of the years of the Jewish calendar, according to the Talmud, was done in the 2nd century AD by Rabbi Yosei ben Halafta. His rabbinic chronology is called the Seder Olam Rabbah. It is almost universally agreed that the calendar is off by at least 200 years due to the fact that Rabbi Yosei guessed wrong as to the length of the intertestamental period, for which there are no biblical records. The period is referred to by secular historians as the Persian period. The rabbinical chronology says it lasted 52 years. The accepted chronology of historical experts says it lasted 207 years, amounting to a difference of 155 years. A remarkable book published in 1997 examines this problem in detail and proves beyond a shadow of a doubt that the Jewish chronology is seriously flawed. It is titled Jewish History in Conflict. The author is a New York attorney and Orthodox Jew by the name of Mitchell First. All the errors he points out in the Jewish calendar amount to a total of over 200 years. With such overwhelming evidence of major errors in the Jewish calendar, why don't the Jews correct their calendar? The force of tradition is undoubtedly one of the main reasons. And he goes on to list more reasons why we have this difference in years. But I just read that the force of tradition is undoubtedly one of the main reasons. And this reminds me of what happened on that day when the women arrived at the empty tomb of Jesus and the angel appeared and the stone was rolled back and the guards were so shaken that they fainted, but they witnessed what happened. These Roman guards went back into the city to tell the chief priests what had happened that morning. When they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers, saying, "Tell them his disciples came at night and stole him away while we slept. And if this comes to the governor's ears, we will appease him and make you secure." So they took the money and did as they were instructed. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. This is one of the ways we know the Lord is right there at the door, ready to come for us in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. But another way we know is through the fig tree parable. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. We believe that the fig tree represents Israel, and many Bible scholars believe that this parable means that when Israel returned as a nation on May 14th, 1948, that would be the generation that would see all these things take place all the way through the Lord's second coming. And again, we subtract 7 years for the tribulation. We are at the end of this generation now. And Israel returning as a nation was the fulfillment of so many Old Testament prophecies. The Israelites were scattered worldwide in 70 AD and they returned to their land in 1948. Who has heard such a thing? Who has seen such things? Shall the earth be made to give birth in one day? Or shall a nation be born at once? For as soon as Zion was in labor, she gave birth to her children. And I have been so drawn to a scripture in Daniel chapter 12 that says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." And I know this means that in the end times, believers will dig deeper into scripture and knowledge in scripture and prophecy will increase. But so much happened when Israel became a nation. At about the same time that the fig tree came back to life, we also saw the beginning of mass transportation. We also saw the beginning of mass media. We saw world wars taking place. We saw the beginning of weapons of mass destruction. And we saw answers to so many of the questions about how the tribulation could have even taken place before this time in history. It could be that the revelation to John, the book of Revelation, was the key to unsealing the book of Daniel. And yet we see so many running to and fro, which means many people will be traveling worldwide. The birth pains that will lead to tribulation, that we will be seeing in the tribulation, have already been beginning all around us. And Jesus says, "Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." This means everything through his second coming. And we know that the rapture happens 7 years before that. We also read about the birth pains or find his Olivet Discourse in Luke chapter 21. And in this account of the fig tree, we read, "Then he spoke to them a parable. Look at the fig tree and all the trees. When they are already budding, you see and know for yourselves that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that the kingdom of God is near. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away." So there are people that will say, "This parable doesn't have to do with Israel because in Luke's account, he says the fig tree and all the trees." But the Ottoman Empire, which had reigned for over 400 years, came to an end with World War I. And this defeat led to about 12 nations being reestablished. Modern Saudi Arabia, which was founded in 1932, is represented by the date palm tree. Lebanon, established in 1943, is the cedar tree. Jordan, established in 1946, is represented by the palm tree. Syria, established in 1943, is represented by the olive tree. And on May 14th, 1948, Israel was established and is represented by the fig tree. So all of these trees budded at about that same time when I feel like the book was unsealed because it was the time of the end. It was the beginning of the generation that would see all these things take place. In Luke 21, verse 28, we read, "Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads because your redemption draws near." He didn't say when the sun is darkened and the moon turns to blood, then look up. He said when these things begin to happen. So it's time to wake up. It's time to look up. Our redemption draws near. It could happen at any time. It doesn't mean that it will happen today or tomorrow or next week, but it's imminent. It could happen. That's why we are ready with our vessels filled with oil. And we are ready when we believe that Jesus is Lord, that he came to earth to shed his innocent blood, dying on the cross, that he died, was buried, and rose again 3 days later, just like the scripture said he would, just like he told his disciples he would. And according to the Bible, when we believe this, we are saved. And when we believe, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is our guarantee until the day of redemption, which is the rapture of the church. The Bible says that today is the day of salvation, because not only do we not know the exact day or hour of the rapture, we know we're in the season, we can see the day approaching, but we also don't know any day that we wake up, whether it'll be our last day on earth for any reason. This is why I pray you are turning to the Lord now. The enemy's favorite word is tomorrow. So if you are turning to the Lord today, if you believe that Jesus and the Father are one, you believe that Jesus is Lord and that he came to pay the penalty for your sins, then praise God. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it. Continue to seek him. Continue to grow in his word, and the Holy Spirit will lead you and guide you and bring you from glory to glory. And I will be praying for anybody that might be watching this video right now, that the Lord really does meet you right where you need him today. with that peace and comfort, healing, protection, favor that really does surpass all understanding. And I want to thank you for joining me today. I love and appreciate all of you so much. And God willing, I will see you in the next video, or I will see you in the air. So take care and God bless you.